The one subject man. That was Paul. You know, he was so intelligent. You know, when I was out with Dr. Carl Ball, now Dr. Ball is so intelligent. But Dr. Ball is really a one subject man. And we had others out there. We had top scientists. We had people that were so intelligent, that it just boggles my mind that I even get to know them. But Dr. Ball's one subject is always Christ. Always Christ. Point one, don't look to the left or to the right. You know, someone says, are you a left person? Are you on the right wing or the left wing? Well, friends, I can't be on the left wing because I cannot support gay marriage. I can't do it. I can't do it. Impossible to do. I can't do it. It's not Bible. If I were to believe that certain people were born without a choice of being gay or straight, I would tear up my Bible because it means our Bible is not true. Every time it mentions it extremely negatively. And our Bible wouldn't be true. And I could not believe our Bible. But they've all swallowed it. Some scientists claimed he saw a spot in the brain. And later they denounced it and they said there's no truth to it. But the lying press still lies. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all we know. That's all we know. Over in England, there was a quiet, quaint little village. And in that village, there was a church. And at that church, on the outside, we determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And for years, the people held it. And that's all they preached was Christ and Christ crucified. But the ivy started growing. And pretty soon, it covered up crucified. And pretty soon, it covered up another word. And pretty soon, another word. And finally it says, we preach Christ. Well, that could be anything. That could be Christ as a good man, Christ as a philosopher. But they didn't teach the crucifixion. We preach it every Sunday. We preach it every Sunday. Every Sunday. You heard me tell you the other day that my son and I were out at the Sam's out by Gurney Mills, and we were in Sam's, and this man sees both of us. He comes up, gets out his billfold, and goes over the hand gesture flawlessly. Now, I know I'm ridiculed for that. I know that. I'm not dumb. I'm not dumb enough to think that if I did something else, I might get more people. But why do I do it? Because I want to preach Christ and Christ crucified. That's not the only way to do it. I hear people do it a great ways without doing a hand gesture, but it's always got to be clear or it doesn't work. See, Paul had been trained up in learning. No one had more learning than the Apostle Paul. He was one of the intelligentsia. But here he was, and he could have preached on his favorite philosopher. Paul could have impressed upon you his knowledge. We had the IFCA convention here, I think 98 or 99, and we had this guy stood in this pulpit. I don't know what he preached. It was so deep that I almost drowned. I mean, it was so deep. And I remember sitting there, and I didn't get any of it. And I've preached the whole Bible. I've preached almost every verse of the Bible. And I didn't get any of it. And I went up to some of the renowned preachers, and I said, did you get any of that? And they looked at me, not a word of it. Not a word of it. Down in Florida, we just had a creation conference, and I went to it. Remember Dr. Gary Parker that was going to come with Ken Ham here, and he got pneumonia and couldn't come? Well, he was there, and others were there. And this guy spoke on physics, and I couldn't get it. Bob Steele was there, and he says, you know, I heard that Bob had a hard time getting it. I talked to some of the other scientists and they didn't get it. He was so deep, no one got it. That's not really a good teacher, is it? Just not real. Gary Parker speaks and I'm thrilled. Dr. Ball speaks and I'm thrilled because I get it. See, a good teacher teaches where you get it. You know, they say that math is such a hard subject, especially now in our public school system. And they say the reason it's so hard is they don't have anybody that can teach it where they can get it. Now, that's not everybody. Some people get it. But not everybody gets it. Why? Why do they not get it? Because a teacher's not doing it where they understand it. When I was in high school, I was struggling with algebra. And we had an older girl. She's a merit finalist. And she was in our church. She's 3 or 4 grades ahead of me. So I went to her and said, could you tutor me for a couple evenings so I can get algebra? And she tutored me, and I got it. I got it. Remember my daughter Julie, she struggled with algebra, but she got it. She mastered it. She started tutoring the Fremd High School students. And they were coming in. I had to stop it. We would have had the whole place filled, and we had no place to put them. And she was tutoring them, and they were going from F's to A's because she struggled at it, but she got it. Churchill could not get English, but he mastered it. I've read just about every Churchill book. I've read most of them. I love the Mansfield book. He never came out with the one I waited for. At least if he did, I missed it. Second one that I wanted to read. I really enjoy it, but that's not what we preach. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what Paul did. And do you know when you trust Him, you automatically are smarter than most of the people in the world? You could be. You know, I had someone ask me 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, and they were serious. This is not a joke. This person said, Pastor, you talk about the Civil War. I don't even know what you're talking about. I couldn't even believe it. Didn't know what the Civil War was. Really didn't. So I explained it. Civil War. They didn't get it. But that person's saved. And that person is smarter than the greatest person teaching in all of our colleges in the world, because that person knows God and the things of God. And if you don't, you're not very smart. Well, I want to be smart. Well, I know you do. See, the world's philosophy can't change people. We have people all the time come to RU on Friday nights. We've had, I bet you I've heard 100 times. They've driven by, and seen the sign. They know they should come. And they don't come. Finally, they come. And they've been to AA, they've been to everything, they can't get help. You know why you can't get help with AA? Because AA says believe in any God you want. That's the falseness, though, because there is but one God. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He made the heavens and the earth. But that's what He preached. Brethren, when I came to you, not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declared unto you the testimony of God. I determined to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I wanted to do. Just preach Christ. You know, any of us, I could be a teacher and I could make the test so hard that everybody could fail it. Any teacher can do that. It doesn't take a brilliant teacher to make hard tests. You know, in high school, there was this teacher, and she gave a true and false test every Friday. And the kids on the other classes would get the test scores, and they would make hundreds. And this teacher had no idea they were doing it. Until one day, I changed all the answers. If it was true, I marked false. False, I marked true. And I gave it to my friend. And he filled it in. And he was the first person in the history of Paducah Tillman High School to make a zero on a true and false. I'll never forget her coming in. She finally figured out people were cheating. Isn't that brilliant? Should a teacher be that stupid? No. He made a zero. He never got his score back up. And he was not happy with me. What a bad sense of humor. And she says, in front of the class, this has to be the dumbest or the most unlucky man ever born. He wasn't real happy. He wasn't thrilled. But see, if you don't know Christ, you don't have a lot of it together. You really don't. You really don't. You know, you heard me share this, but Dr. Floyd, who has always been here, and he was a very popular teacher here, and there's been a Bible class in there. Now, let me say it right. If you say trailer park, you get hung up and crucified. In their manufactured home park, they've had a Bible class going for about 24 years. They've had two of the most wonderful ladies teaching it. The last lady to teach it was going into something like her 95th year. And out of the blue, Dr. Floyd was asked to teach this class. In the summer, it drops to about 24. In the winter, it gets up to about 60. And he was asked to teach it. And the people applauded. And they're telling everybody. But here's what I want to make a point of. This wonderful lady, and she was a good teacher, she came up to Dr. Floyd. She said, "You are taking them where I could have never taken them." She said, "Dr. Floyd, I'm going to die a happy woman because I know the class is in better hands than it's ever been." Boy, that just, you know why that excites me? You may not catch why it excites. She's not jealous. There's not a jealous bone in her body. She cares about the people. Isn't that kind of nice? Isn't that kind of nice? Boy, y'all are dead today. What is wrong with you? Isn't that kind of nice? No. Looked like a bunch of sick cows. Man, I saw cows all over it. Out there in Kansas, man. You know, Miriam was there. She drove out there. And she didn't know what a... We had those Black Angus. And she said, "What are those?" I said, "Well, they're cows." "Oh, I know they're cows. Those are Black Angus." And she wanted to know about those cows. And those cows coming over and kind of getting a little close to us. Did y'all ever eat a snake root? Any of y'all ever have snake root? Raise your hand if you've had snake root. Miriam and me. Oh, you've had snake root? Okay, good. We're getting more snake rooters. And we dug this thing up. And this guy said, "Put it on your tongue and chew it." I wasn't going to chew it until I saw him chew it. So he put it in and chewed it. I put it in and chewed it. Miriam chewed it. About five or six others chewed it. My tongue went numb. It's what they make Novocaine out of. And when the Indians used to get their teeth pulled, they would just chew that stuff. It's awful. And we were having steak that night. I couldn't taste it. I had a numb taste buds. Don't ever chew it. But see, Paul taught Christ. He taught Christ. You know, if you get saved, you know, the three basic questions in life: where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? And the minute you get saved, you get all those three answers. Boy, isn't it good to know that? The world doesn't know that. The world doesn't know that. They just don't know it. They don't get it. And then once you get it, we grow in Christ. You can't grow in Christ until you get it. And when you stand before God, you stand in Christ's righteousness. And what does righteousness mean? Easy. Standing right before God instead of standing wrong before God. That's what it means. That's what it means. To be born again. The greatest thing ever. The testimony of God. We teach it. Now I'm going to read you Spurgeon, first verbatim. "Yet there are many simpletons in spiritual things who mistake sound for sense and seem to satisfy their hunger not on solid meat, but on the jingle of the musical dinner bell." The jingle on the musical dinner bell. I'm doing a commentary on the book of James. I'm excited to do it. My son was reading it over the couple chapters. And in there, I said, the people that are confused by lordship salvation, it's like they're swimming in a sour soup. And he said, "Dad, where did you get swimming in sour soup? That's good. Can I tell you where I got it? There's this software called Dragon. Takes your voice and puts words with it, and it's pretty good. But somehow, I looked down there, and it wrote swimming in sour soup. I said, that's good. I said, it may have come from the devil, but I'm going to use it for the glory of God. Galatians 1, 11 and 12, look in your Bibles or your verse sheets. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. Two surgeons were talking. How many surgeries they've had? One said, I've had 160 surgeries. The other said 13. The one said, well, I've had 13, but 11 were successful. The one that had 160, none were successful. But the one with 160 said, but I've had more surgeries than you. Well, which one would you rather have? 11 out of 13 or 160 out of 160 that were failures? How would you like to go into surgery? What's my chances? No one's ever survived it. Wouldn't that be encouraging? Well, why am I doing it? Because it'll help me be a better surgeon. No, it isn't if you're not doing it. But the same thing with preaching. I remember a preacher, and he was at our Grace Conference, and he was a wordsmith. You know, a wordsmith just uses big, flowery words, and they work on using really hard words. And they throw them out through the sermon in the wordsmith. He said, you know, I preached in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches. And in all that preaching, I've never had one person ever get saved. Man, I was just, my heart was almost stopped. Not one person ever got saved? In hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches. Do you think you might be not being very clear? Do you think? Not one person's ever been saved from your preaching? Wow. Not one person. Not one person. Mr. Spurgeon said sometimes he's been tempted to use some rather fine words. Sometimes he said they were very fine, but I always pulled them out of my mouth and flung them away. Because I'm only going to preach Christ and Christ crucified. Psalms 45:7, thou loveth righteousness and hateth wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. 2 Corinthians 12:6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me. There's a new show called The Kelly File, and she had Judge Judy on. Now, a couple times I've seen Judge Judy, and she's pretty powerful. She's pretty, tells people what she thinks. I had no idea that she had millions of people watching her show. She has, now I haven't done this fully mathematically, but it's very close. She has 4 times the viewer that O'Reilly has. I didn't even know that. But she was talking about, she said, I don't mind people being on welfare, but people that can work should not be on welfare. She said, people that are on drugs should not be on welfare. If you go out and get on drugs and you get on alcohol and you mess yourself up, why should I pay for that? Amen? We shouldn't have to pay. Now, if someone needs it, we should pay for it. Yes, I'm not against it. But we should not pay because people go out and get on drugs. We should not. Point two, the real brave overcome fear. 1 Corinthians 2:3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Apostle Paul, why would he say that? Have you ever wondered why he would say that? Why would the Apostle Paul say that? Fear? Trembling? Weakness? Well, you know, he'd been to Mars Hill, and that's in Athens, and Mars Hill was not real successful. And then he goes down the seacoast, still in Greece, to Corinth. You know that when they said they're Corinthians, it meant they were the most wicked people on earth. They're the Corinthians. I tell you, if there was one place that would be the hardest place on earth to start a church, it would be in Corinth at that time. It would be really hard to start it in that time. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Behind me, you see it. It would really be hard to do it, wouldn't it? Of course it would. Of course it would. You know, you hear them say, what is a gift that lasts forever? And they'll say on television, a diamond, right? You know, they have fake diamonds now that very few people can tell if they're fake or real. I got my wife, for her birthday, I got her a fake diamond watch. Now, she knows it's fake, but it's really pretty. You can't really tell it's not real diamond watch. You know, the women always ask her when she gets a new piece of jewelry. She's wearing one today. I got out there homemade at one of the farmer's house. And it's really pretty, but it was very reasonable, promise you. It was very reasonable. And the women all come up, and it's made out of copper, so the women know copper's not very valuable. So they, oh, I like that. But when she wore that watch, not one woman said, I really like that. Because they thought somehow the preacher bought her a diamond, hundreds of diamond watch. Promise you, friends, I didn't. It was reasonably, not this word is good, cheap. It was from Costco. I knew she liked it because she'd seen it in Florida and said, I like that. Well, that's what I buy, something she likes. You don't try to buy your wife something she doesn't like, do you? Some of you guys got so little brains, you just buy it. And you say, why don't they like that? But see, when he looked on Corinth and he saw the wickedness, the 1,000 prostitutes from the temple, he saw this wicked city and he was scared. Some people try to say that was a sickness. No, he was scared because of where he was. Have you ever done that? You're somewhere and you're just scared. Get up. You know, some of you never had to preach, and if I were to ask you to preach, you would be pretty up scared, wouldn't you? You'd be pretty scared. It wouldn't be easy. Some of you, it would be easier, but you would be fear and trembling. But sometimes when you really feel that way and you overcome it, that's when you do your best. And when you feel a little bit scared, listen, if you don't want to believe this, you don't have to, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm nervous every Sunday morning. You're not. I am. I really am. How about when you stand up the mother-daughter banquet? That's when I'm really nervous. How about at the pageant? I'm even more nervous. Because these people, if I don't do it right, may never go to heaven. That's a huge responsibility. But a preacher doesn't win people. It's the power of the gospel. It's not the preacher. You know, I shared this with you once. I went to India with some really high-powered preachers that were known pretty far and wide. And we'd take turns, and they'd get up and preach. And you know, we had up to 40,000 people in some of those meetings. But when I would preach, I'd preach with the clear gospel. And they were having a hard time because they would preach, they might get 10, 15, even 30, 40 saved. And then when I got up with a clear gospel, we'd have hundreds and thousands saved. And they said, why, when you preach, do you have so many more saved? Because you're not that loud, you're not that powerful, you're not this, you're not that. I said, because I have the most powerful message the world has ever known, the gospel. The Holy Spirit helps with the gospel. Dr. Floyd got through teaching his class. This woman said, I've asked every teacher everywhere I've ever been this question. I want to know if you can answer it. And she looks at him, and the class was dumbfounded, and they were listening. All ears were on it. What does the Holy Spirit do when we're in heaven? And he said, the same thing the Holy Spirit does here. Glorifies Christ and teaches us. And the Holy Spirit in heaven will still be teaching us throughout eternity about the glory of God. I'm going to skip a verse, but look at point three. Only from the Spirit is power. And 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Who does the converting? We're just the wrapping. Don't you, like it at Christmas, and they give you a present, and it's all wrapped. It's all wrapped, and the boyhood or girlhood comes out, and you say, man, I can't wait to unwrap this. And my wife hates for me to unwrap the presents. My cousin Trina will do such a beautiful job and have it wrapped so perfect and bows on it. And when I get it, I rip everything apart. I just rip everything apart. And my wife's trying to say, save the bow, save the bow. And by that time, it's ripped apart. Because I don't want to save the bow. I don't want to save the paper. I want to get to the gift. Well, see, all we do is present him, sometimes in wrappings. But what saves is the gospel. And that's why we do it every Sunday. That's why we do it every Sunday. Every Sunday. The clear gospel. Those preachers, why do you have so many saved? Because I have a clear gospel. And you don't. You don't. You know, when we first got to Thailand, we went there, then to India. And I'd been there before, but they had a driver pick us up. And in Thailand, they drive on the wrong side of the road, like they do in England. So the steering wheel is on the right, not on the left. So I sat in the front, and I was where usually the steering wheel is. And those really bright preachers were in the back. And we get out, and they said, how come you drove? They thought I was driving. In Bangkok, Thailand, they thought I was driving. And so I picked it up real quick, and I said, well, because I don't let anybody drive anywhere in the world where I am. And they said, well, how do you know where to go? I said, I study maps. The next day, they realized I made all that up. They weren't happy with me. One of them was paranoid of snakes. So I bought a rubber snake and put it under his pillow. It was pretty loud. He screamed really loud. And then I put it back in his bag as he went through security. I don't know if he ever got out. I've never checked. They weren't happy with him. They were not happy. That was what the faith was, though. Preach the gospel. Stay on the gospel. You know, sometimes you'll be witnessing somebody, and they'll try to get off the gospel. Just stay right on the gospel. Answer their question. Get right back to the gospel. Just stay on the gospel. You know, we have some preach only doctrine. We have some that preach only experience. Only experience. I had a man this week, and he's telling me about his experiences. And I asked him if he knew if he died right now, he'd go to heaven. And he wouldn't answer it. He'd start with another experience. See, all the experiences won't get you to heaven. I remember the Jim Baker, before he went to jail, I'll never forget him. He said, people talk about doctrine. I don't talk doctrine. We don't believe in doctrine. Doctrine divides. And of course, he went to jail for a while. He got out of jail. And now he's telling everybody to hide and buy foods and be ready for the coming disaster. Friends, just take it. Take it for what it's worth. Don't worry about that. You've got enough canned goods to last you about 30 years. We got canned goods, and I look at some of it, and I say, please eat before 1975. It's still good. It's still good. So you need to believe that. You need to believe that. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you. Do you get all that? I hope you get that. A diamond does not last forever, friends. You say, well, a diamond is girl's best friend. If a diamond is a girl's best friend, y'all don't have a very good friend. Did you ever just have a diamond and say, oh, diamond, talk to me? I saw a commercial and they showed a guy that got a fake diamond for this girl. No one can tell it except if they have certain tools, if it's real or fake. If you can't tell it, what's it matter? Oh, you're not very romantic. If you can't tell it, it looks the same. Why does it matter? Give it to the gospel. Amen? I mean, she's got a watch that's got more diamonds than Jimmy Carter has peanuts. And not one woman asked her, oh, where did you get that? They were scared to. They thought the pastor might be embezzling. I don't know what they thought. Where did you get that? Wow. Listen, if I can buy a $150 watch and it looks like something so good, you don't even ask? What does it matter? Buy the cheap stuff. Your wife will never know. Dr. Edwards does it all the time, right? I know Pastor Mark does. That ring he gave her, he came to me and said, what I'm buying court is okay to use a fake one. Does the wrapping change the gift? No. Where's the power? It's in the gospel. You know, the best man can do or woman can do is nothing. That's the best you can do. It's nothing. Now, everybody look at my right and your left, if you would please. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you see that? Not one man should boast. It's a gift. You can't earn it. And I'll tell you, sometimes we've got sins and, you know, information in, information out. You've got sins by the trillions. I do, you do, and to go to heaven, you've got to be perfect. There's not anybody in this room that's perfect, but here's Christ. Here's Christ, and he's perfect. And this billfold represents sin. This hand right here is you and me. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. And Christ, who never sinned, 2 Corinthians 5:2-1, for he, God, hath made him Christ. Now, everybody get this. Who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Whew. That get you excited? He takes our sins. He paid it on the Calvary with his blood, the death, burial, and resurrection. When he rose again, it proved that God had accepted the payment. And now God will look upon those that have put their trust in him as if he looks at Christ. None of us are good enough or could ever be good enough. Only through Christ. He paid our price. Boy, I get so excited about that. And I've been preaching in this church over 42 years. And I get so excited about that. The place I preached Wednesday night, the preacher had been there 39 years. He's a young whippersnapper, isn't he? I said, well, 39's good, not as good as 42 plus. No, I did not say that. If I had said that, I wouldn't be teaching what I just taught here. Teach Christ and him crucified. He paid it. God now sees me and you through Christ without sin. Isn't that exciting? Friends, I don't know if you believe this or not, but that's the greatest message in the world. That's why we do it every Sunday. Wow. The best person can do nothing, but Christ did everything.